Our scripture this morning is Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, the resurrection of Jesus. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they may go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Well, I welcome each and every one of you to our worship this morning. And if you don't know me, I'm Marcia Petticord, and I'm a lay servant at the First United Methodist Church of Princeton. And I'm very happy to be here to share the message with you today. Please pray with me. Dearest Lord, may the words that I say and the thoughts that I think be used only for your glory. Amen. Well, you may have heard this story before, but it's been around for a long, long time. But I really still get a kick out of the Ben Hayden story of a group of four-year-olds at Sunday school on Easter Sunday morning. The teacher looked around her class and asked this question, "Does anyone know what day this is?" And a little girl promptly raised her hand and said, "Yes, this Sunday is Easter Sunday." The teacher proudly praised her, "That's fantastic. Now, does anyone know what makes this Sunday Easter?" The same little girl's hand shot up again, and she responded, "Yes, this Sunday is Easter because Jesus rose from the grave." And before the teacher could congratulate her, she continued by saying, "But if he sees his shadow, he has to go back in for 7 weeks." I love that story. Talk about the best laid plans. Well, we've marched through the last week, and with its highs and lows, and even though I know the end, I praise on Palm Sunday and feel despair on Good Friday, then wait with anticipation for this morning's exciting news. So you all know the story. So I'm bringing you the message today in a slightly different format from a slightly different viewpoint. And I call it Mary's thoughts. And I'm allowing, even though it doesn't say it in the scripture, hopefully God will allow me, I'm allowing Mary, the mother of Jesus, to come along with this story and as I share it with you. It was still too early, still just barely dawn. Several women, baskets laden, walked silently and steadily on. Those baskets filled with spices, for now the Sabbath done. They must tend to the one who died, their teacher, for one, her son. Though normally a chatty group, no words were left to say. They just knew there was this task to do in order to start their day. Their sighs were deep, their tears flowed still. The hurt was still so raw. They couldn't come to grips even now with the events they heard and saw. Now, in the tomb Joseph provided, their rabbi now lay dead. But over and over in their minds, they still puzzled what he'd said. He told them that he would be killed, but they wouldn't believe it. For he was the Messiah, right? At least they'd hoped he'd achieved it. Mary, his mother, walked quietly in the stillness right at dawn, and she thought this was like the time long ago, the time her son was born. Her thoughts carried her back to that time when she, a virgin still, was awakened in the night by an angel asking her to do God's will. And willingly she had agreed, filled with awe, to be a part. And she had no clue what would happen, but she trusted God in her heart. An angel came to her fiancé, too. And yes, even Joseph had embraced the message from the angel. Together, they faced the future with faith. She was supposed to have God's son, Emmanuel, his name. He would be extraordinary. None other would be the same. She carried that precious child inside, even when discovering then she and Joseph had to travel to be counted and taxed in Bethlehem. Mary thought of those days on the road, chilly nights and hot sun's rays, her belly heavy with the child as she counted down the days. Upon reaching the destination after traveling many a day, she recollected her despair when they found no place to stay. Yet, time was of the essence, for she was showing the signs of birth. A room simply had to be procured so her child could enter this earth. An innkeeper finally gave his barn, not great, but at least a place, protected and dry, with plenty of straw. Her son entered the human race. She marveled at the reaction to Jesus' birth, how magic that night became, how the shepherds arrived to worship him, telling how the angels came. And even came those eastern kings, for they had followed Jesus' star. It fascinated her to receive those gifts and find they had traveled so far. The escape to Egypt and back to Israel, her thoughts passed in a blur. A trip to Jerusalem where they lost Jesus had been scary then for sure. She marveled as her son had grown, many a time studying God's word. She listened as he read the Torah. She smiled as those thoughts occurred. An adult he all too quickly became, and she'd looked for the time when God's kingdom would take over. She kept watching for the signs. Her musings went to Jordan River, to John the Baptist. Hundreds came. And when he'd baptized Jesus, from the heavens God made his claim. She thought with sadness how one time he'd preached in his hometown. His thoughts were not appreciated, his preaching shouted down. Also to the wedding in Cana, where Jesus' first miracle occurred. Water became delicious wine with his simple spoken word. Other miracles took place, some answers to spoken wishes, or how he fed the 5,000 with some bread and a few fishes. She remembered a day when he was tired and the disciples shooed the kids away. But no, he wanted them to come, so he'd bid them stay. She liked most of his disciples, though some were slow and others quick. How they listened to her precious son, though most wondered what made him tick. She was amazed that he allowed her and other women to belong. He treated them like equals, friends, an important part of the whole throng. She always knew he was special, trusted the things that he had to say. But even she couldn't have guessed the events of recent days. First entering Jerusalem with folks shouting his name. Then as the week progressed, he began to get the blame. She'd seen Judas, one of his chosen, sneak away and betray, arrested, beaten, sentenced to death. But why wouldn't he get away? It didn't make much sense to her, and she'd wept as he went to die. She knew he could call the angels down, but he didn't. And she wondered why. It ripped her heart out, piece by piece, to watch her son die horribly. And she was sure that it also bothered him to see his disciples flee. The Sabbath coming, he was quickly prepared, taken, and locked away. And then it was over, or so she thought, until the women were done today. Her thoughts were interrupted, and she came out of her reverie. Her steps hesitated, and she looked for what the others had to see. They'd been talking on the way to the grave about the grave-protecting stone. They'd hoped the guards would help move it. They couldn't do it alone. They'd expected to be challenged by the guards standing around. Imagine their surprise to see the guards laying on the ground. And that stone so large and heavy that was put there on Friday wasn't going to be a problem. It had already been rolled away. The woman looked from one to another, not sure exactly what to do. Should they check the guards for signs of life or just do what they came to do? But something strange was happening, for the tomb gave off a light. Should they go in and check it out or run off through the night? They gathered up their courage and together started in. Astonished, they saw the slab was bare where Jesus' body once had been. And in his place, there sat a man whose robes were of a brilliant hue. Was he a part of the guards, they thought? What were they to do? The man now spoke, assuring them, "Do not be afraid. Yes, this is in truth the spot where your teacher, Jesus, laid. But he is no longer in the tomb. No, not stolen or whisked away. He is risen and now is alive," they heard the angel say. The angel continued by saying, "Now, this is what you do. Go back and tell his disciples that what Jesus said was true." Dumbfounded, they faced each other. Could what he said be true? They saw Jesus crucified, then die. Is this another miracle too? And they thought they'd seen it all, but now their Jesus wasn't dead. In terror, they backed away from the angel. Then from the grave, they fled. There must have been a reckoning when they had time to catch their breath. And finally, an understanding that their Messiah had conquered death. And racing to the disciples at the place where the disciples hid, they hurriedly told the story of what the angel said and did. And while the other women relayed the happenings to the men, Mary drifted off in her own thoughts once again. She thought of all the times that her son had tried to say, all the things that were to happen to prepare them for this day. The night before he was arrested, he had washed the disciples' feet to teach them how to serve each other, not consider themselves elite. Yes, he showed them love, humility, to be compassionate, forgive, to get them ready for the day when without him they'd have to live. And even she, along with the others, did not understand, for she thought he'd conquer Rome, not die at Rome's strict hand. She chided herself, as she should have known that this son whom she'd given birth would not be tied to a government here upon this earth. He had to live as a man, but in the end, God's great kingdom wins. His dying was to save us all, to take the blame for all our sins. So, what would Mary think today if she were standing here? Would she find that we got the point if she would suddenly appear? Would she see us like disciples, still hiding from the law, still back on Friday at the cross, in fear of what we saw? Would she cluck her tongue at us? Or would she maybe become mad? Would she look at our situation and shake her head, be sad? Would she watch us celebrate Jesus' victory from the grave, still unconvinced that it is us that Jesus came to save? Well, I'm hoping those gathered here can understand her worry, because nowadays most don't care for church and go about life in a hurry. They fail to see the miracle. They don't try to understand the gift that they have been given to each, both woman and man. She'd pray for those who don't bother. She'd ache for all who stray, for those who don't believe or repent or have him take their sins away. But my friends, I stand with Mary, and I hope that she can see that we believe our Savior Jesus lives inside of you and me, that we this day rejoice with her. Death's loss is now our gain. We gladly raise our voices and exultantly proclaim, Jesus Christ is risen. Hallelujah, we loudly say. Our sins have been forgiven. Then, now, on till judgment day. So I will close this little story and join Mary's voice to say, thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much and for saving us even today. Please pray with me. Thanks be to a God who loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross to save us from our sins. May we be ever mindful that it is our job to continue to model Jesus in this life so that others may see us and learn to follow him also. Amen.